This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Good morning, Efe.
Good morning, Anna.
Thank you for joining the Crossfire this morning.
Well, always a pleasure.
So first things first, Chukwuma Soludo, governor of Anambra State, on Saturday said there will be a prayer session to, you know, mark an end to the sit at home on Mondays in Anambra State. For those who may not know, the sit at home doesn't only happen in Anambra State, it happens in Imo State, Enugu State, I believe Ebonyi and Abia States. So I'm sure you've heard the news, of course, that he said he's going to put an end to it. How did you receive that news?
Well, I think that was I saw it as a very positive development. I thought that it was high time that political class partner with different sectors and segments of society to bring life back to normalcy. Because, well, for me, the entire sit at home narrative was more like somebody shooting himself on the foot. I felt that people in the southeast states of Imo, Enugu, Abia, Anambra, and Ebonyi were the worst for it, actually. You are making a statement, politically or otherwise, but you are inadvertently harming the economy of the southeast, the socio-political life of the southeast. So I thought that what Charles Soludo, the governor of Anambra State, has started to do is very worthy. Why? That it's proper for him to pursue that particular course of action. But the timing and modus of operandi may be something entirely different, another cup of tea entirely. But whether that was the right thing to do, absolutely. Sit at home cannot continue indefinitely. He has to find a way to see to it that that is put behind them. And speaking frankly, sit at home should be something that is voluntary. It's not be something that is foisted on people. So if people identify with a cause, they should sit at home because they identify with the cause, not because they have been made to be scared for their lives, because they will burn their shops, they will kill them, they will abduct them, and dehumanize them in all manner of ways and means. So I think that is part of the larger conversation that people should have. But I believe that Charles Soludo, governor of Anambra State, is taking the right course of action.
All right, so it's one thing to talk the talk, another to walk the walk, or walk the talk in this case. So four other states have the same sit at home, you know, in place. How would he need to synergize with the other states to ensure that it ends? Because if he's able to make some inroads in Anambra State, it will call to question the government in the other states.
Yeah, absolutely in order. You see, I believe that what should have happened, so I talked about the modus operandi, whereas I believe that the objective of his movement now to bring about a halt to this at home is very ideal. I think that the timing and modus operandi may need to be retweaked. Definitely, this is something that he would have to have done in consonance with his brother governors from the other states of the southeast. Because, let's face it, there is this cross-specialization. You can hardly tell the difference. What happens in Anambra is not entirely in Anambra, although you may have it more so in Imo and Anambra. But you also have other states that they also have a similar thing. So it would have been much more better if you try to build consensus, you try to have a common arrangement between the other governors while you're also reaching the other segments of your state to achieve this. The truth is that if you observe, and my attention was drawn to it, that during his swearing in, being an off-season election and off-season inauguration, it was expected that at least a few other governors from the neighboring states would have come to witness it, but there was none. Of course, some have argued that he is of a different political leaning, and that is why they may not have come. But come on, I think that we're in a situation where whether you are of a particular political divide or the other, you should identify with your neighboring state for proper partnership, even if you are opposing political divide. So I think that, yes, he has to be a good network, because Anambra State is part of the system, it's part of the southeast, and it cannot exist in isolation. Except, of course, you partner with other people and you reach people who you think that they are perpetrators or enforcers of the sit at home, and they are exclusive to Anambra State. And I think that is not the case.
Okay, so why Do you think it hasn't happened before now? I mean, the five governors coming together. I know they've had several meetings. Ibuagu came out of one, but I'm not sure that has seen the light of the day. Why haven't they been able to, you know, come forward to say, together let's do something about this, more than just Ibuagu?
Yeah, I think the very sad thing from where I stand is politics. You recall that at different times you've had different chairmen of the Southeast Governors Forum. Right now, I believe it is David Umahi, governor of Ebonyi State, if I'm correct. And since he assumed that office, I cannot say the kind of support or the kind of synergy that has existed in that body. Because we find that of the Southeast Governors, Imo State has some kind of peculiarity since the ascension to office of Governor Hoku Zoduma, the entire Supreme Court scenario, you know, and crisis of legitimacy, and the issues he has within the state. If you go to Enugu State, you think they are much more detached from the national happening, otherwise much more peaceful. But of course, they also had their share of violence, and they had their internal issues. The governor is a strong PDP governor. In Imo State, it's APC. So you go to Ebonyi, who is supposed to be the chairman now, he's an APC man, and a presidential hopeful. And you know how he has had some power relationship with other governors outside the Southeast, of course, with regard to his ambition and with regard to the propriety or otherwise of his defection for the APC. So I think politics, for me, is a major factor that has affected the working together of these governors in the Southeast. And not just them, even across the country, politics, they want to be politically correct. They don't want to be seen to be working with perceived real or perceived enemies, political enemies, I mean now, and to the detriment or to the indignation of their other allies in different parts of the country. I think that's a major problem. Before now, you used to see them have Southeast governors meeting once in a while, you know, at different states, but particularly in Enugu, which was perceived as the traditional headquarters of the Southeast. But over time, we've not seen that happening. In fact, it was even enlarged. The Southeast governors used to meet together with traditional rulers of the Southeast in Enugu, another key stakeholder. But since the whole politicking and defection scenario have come to the fore, you've seen very little of that happening. Everybody appears to be demonizing every other person. You are aware, for instance, that in Ebonyi, you have a Pius Anyim, who is a strong PDP stalwart, angling to be president. And you now have, and it's of the PDP extraction, and you also have the governor, who is of the APC, wanting to be president. Now, whether they actually want to be president, or their positioning for vice presidency is another matter entirely. And such persons are very concerned as to how people in their political party view their key stakeholders, view their interaction with people outside of their party, whether they are of the Southeast or not. That, I think, politics has single-handedly affected the fortunes of the Southeast government in terms of working together in this regard.
And that has also affected the people and the economy so far.
Definitively. In fact, it is clear, like I said earlier, it has affected the people, it has affected the economy. You know, there is something that is other. I've forgotten who this comment subscribed to, but it is stated that politicians always think of the next election, and you need the open season for election, whereas stakeholders think of the next generation, elder statesmen rather, think of the next generation. That subscribed to some wise man. I don't know, I can't remember the name now. So clearly, since the dawn of 2022, you see that the focus has shifted, and I think adversely so, to politics, positioning. For those who are two-term governors, how do they get their successors? They don't even care that much about what is going on. So what you find in the northeast and northwest of the country, where killings have become the norm, these people do not care very much, provided their instruments of state exist and their actions and inactions, if you like, to perpetuate themselves in office, or to plant a successor, or to aspire to another office different from what they have occupied for the past years, is in a manner of speaking, in the right direction. So that is the problem. The citizenry is the worst for it. Confidence in government is another matter entirely. You know, how many of these governors speak and the people listen to them? You don't even have the instrument, you know, the force of coercion to say that, okay, this is what I want to do, and I will make sure I do it, and my people benefit. They don't have it, in my opinion. So, like people have said, they are basically logistics officers for most of our security agencies. and their chief security officers for the state in name only. They're nominal office holders in that regard. In other regards, infrastructure and what have you, yes. But with regard to this kind of things that pertain to security, that pertain to the development of people, when it clashes with their personal drives, and this is not just in Southeast, now across the country, they think they pay better heed to politicking, and that which they think is involves their political survival.
So something has to give at a time like this when someone, well, this act is something disruptive, you know, that Chukwuma Soludo has taken. This step is somewhat disruptive, yeah. So what do you think would have to give on the other side for any form of progress to be seen or seen to be made?
Okay, so while I align myself with Chukwuma Soludo entirely, I think he must be both realistic and idealistic. For now, he's driven by his ideas, you know, and I think the ideals are germane. They are very much okay. But in terms of being realistic, does he have the requisite network of the leaders, shadowy leaders, if you like, of the IPOB and the so-called unknown gunmen that perpetrate this evil? Recall that in some other times, they've also been accused to be perpetrated by politicians who decide to sponsor political criminals, political thugs, to create a semblance of insecurity and anarchy. So what I think is that Governor Soludo would have, as much as possible, tried to find out who are the key people, who are the puppeteers. Because when you hear about an attack here and there, an attack in Amity police station, an attack elsewhere, who are those that actually behind it? Until you achieve that, you find out that, you cannot make a headway. Making your pronouncements with regard to the religious leaders coming together, sit at home, stopping, it's not enough. Because people must still be concerned about their safety and security. And that also stretches to the capability and capacity of the security agency. So are you able to mobilize the requisite support? Are you able to position Nigerian police and military, the civil defense, the DSS, in every nook and cranny of your state to ensure that these people will not sneak up on them and kill people, you know, decimate their means of income and what have you? So until you're able to identify these leaders, find a way to talk. Amnesty, yes, I've not been a proponent of this amnesty in Broglie. But for cases like this, where you think the narrative is based on certain things that are larger than the everyday occurrence, you could talk about it. It's happened before. It's not the best thing to happen. You could talk about that. Carrot and stick approach.
Mm.
But are you in position by yourself to even do that? Because you do not control the security agency. Although you can partner with them, you can also persuade them, you know, you can cause them to take action. So I think he must find a way to identify those leaders, directly or indirectly, get people to talk to them. We've seen before in Kaduna, where Governor Nathi El-Rufai admitted prior to this term that they had paid criminals from outside the country to stop attacking their people. So if you need to find out these people, find who they are, try to establish back channels of communication, while at the same time you are partnering with the security agencies to ensure that presence is overwhelming, that they dominate the public space in your area, the nooks and crannies. Until you do that, until you are sure that there are no forests in your area, your region, there are no hideouts where these people can successfully hide and carry out guerrilla attacks, whatever you do on the other side will be a child's play, because it will be of no effect. So these things must go hand in hand. While you are talking to the people to build capacity, you must also talk to build confidence, rather, for them to say, okay, we will not do this any longer, provided you do X, Y, Z, and we see your capacity to do that. You must also ensure that the security agencies are able to do the needful. And even if they are able, are they willing to listen to you? Do you think that the federal government, being of a different political divide, would want to give credit to a governor that's not of its own fold, to say he's the one that has brought some seeming peace? Would that not work against the political fortunes of the APC in that state and enlarge or further deepen that of Abga? So there are many things at play. In his visit to Mr. President, in his visit to the state, the security chiefs and those in the state, those in Abuja, these things need to happen. They need to be brought to the fore. And he must show that he's not just trying to score a cheap political point. So I think it was a little hasty, but I also think that it was the right thing to do. The timing for me is an issue. And have you checked all the boxes you have the DSS, for instance, and people have said that if the DSS is doing the best that they can do, if they are being supported to do what they can do, we will not have the situation we have. So clearly there's an intelligence gap in terms of knowing who is somewhere and is constituting himself into criminality for the generality of the society. And then when you have the intelligence available, you have the capacity to counter and neutralize these criminals and shadowy elements. So these all things work together. And we also go back to the issue of state police, you know, centralized policing system, and what have you. So I think Chukwuma Soludo should do more behind the scenes before he comes out in the public domain, you know, to announce certain things. Remember that during President Umaru Musa Yar'Adua, just to digress, when amnesty was to be granted to the so-called Nigerian militants, I was one of those who opposed it. I felt that you are appeasing criminals, basically. Which one is developing data, developing data. What I said clearly was that that was not the way to go. But what the president did, which I give him credit for, was that he said amnesty, submit your arms, but you have 60 days. Why will we integrate you, we will try to rehabilitate you, and we'll do other things if you do not submit your arms and you continue to exist in those camps beyond 60 days? Whatever happens to you, you are responsible for it. We will bomb those camps. And they actually made through their walls. So so-called warlords taunting their weapons. So these things go hand in hand. Carrot and stick, they go together. And I don't see how Governor Soludo has been able to provide that carrot and stick element this time around. He must have to work more behind the scenes and then ensure that he has good partnership with the federal security authorities, and then find out those people who are actually the perpetrators and win them over. Then you can now come out in the public and say, this is what we're trying to do. And you begin to see that there is progress.
Efe, you mentioned bringing in security to flooding the area with security, literally. But you know that over time, the people in the southeast and even people outside have complained about the presence of security agencies. Where is the meeting point in that?
Okay, so the problem about the complaint of people, which I also share, is not just because of the presence of security operatives. It is because of the actions of security operatives
who are present.
Stop them. Who dehumanize them in the process. You are made to come out and take your hands off. Because let's face it, if all the checkpoints we have in the southeast and across the country are doing what they ought to do, where will the arms and ammunition pass through? You won't find them. So they're actually there, but are they doing what they should do? They are not. Rather, they are making life much more difficult for the people. Commuters are made to pay higher sums because you have Nigerian security operatives, both the military and the police, extorting them. You have people making all kinds of dehumanizing situations. Somebody drives from, even Abuja, Kaduna, that is a very torturous place now, and that is as police as you have the Southeast Police. So that's the problem we have. And people have responded and have given evidence that in the northern part of the country, the police there hardly extort anybody. Because even the MS and the religious leaders will come hard on you, and nobody will tolerate it. But down south, particularly the southeast and south south, it's a different scenario, it's a different ballgame. So it's not enough to just have policemen present. Dominating means that people will even see you and say, these are our friends, they are our saviors, and they are happy that they see you. Because you don't do mass arrest of individuals and now try to find out who can pay a large sums for bail and you further enrich yourself. See the whole arbitrary scenario that has played out over time. Somebody who was otherwise thought to be the shining star of the Nigerian police. See the mess that we have seen now. You know, we are beginning to question the motive, you know, of such response teams and what have you. So I think that dominating the scene and the intention, you know, the reason behind that domination is a different ballgame. If you do it properly, the people will be happy. They will even give you applause when they see you passing, when they see you in that area. They will even provide food for you and water for you to drink. But that's not what we have.
All right, if you want to go, we have to play a commercial now. We'll get back to you in a matter of minutes. Thank you.
Okay.
We're Nigerian for Port Harcourt. You just tuning in. We're talking ending the sit-at-home in Anambra State. Governor Charles Chukwuma Soludo on Monday tweeted, 4th April, he tweeted, following the unanimous agreement of our leaders across board and the endorsement of the entire body of Christ. I'm pleased to inform our people that today, Monday, April 4, 2022, marks the official end to the Monday sit at home in Anambra State. We were talking with security analyst Ife Wanogo. The conversation continues in a bit. Don't forget, we're on Twitter at Nigerian4PH, on Facebook at Nigerian4PH, on WhatsApp 08090306416. My name is Eno Ogbevire. Stay tuned.
We take off with the biggest conversations, with an exchange of opinions and ideas on the Morning Crossfire. Settle you into your day when we say hello, Port Hackett.
Take you on a ride to the sunny side of life.
Hover a bit while picking at the details on hard facts. Take a detour through the exciting world of sports.
And get back on track with Let's Talk.
Land you safely as we chit-chat into the morning on Chat Station.
Chat Station.
And then do it all over again on your number one talk, news and sports radio station, 92.3 Nigeria Info. This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
We're talking the task before the governor of Anambra State, Chukwuma Soludo, who on Monday tweeted that it marks an end to the Monday sit at home in the state. What are the challenges? What are the hurdles and the possibilities of that happening? 0817-923-0002, 0817-923-0003, 0817-923-0009. My name is Eno Gbeviren. Do you think it's going to succeed? Do you think that those who support the cause will be willing to sit at table and have a conversation? Let's talk. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Eno Gbeviren.
Yes, you're on.
I'm Comrade Kabari, calling from Banloku in Kana.
Okay.
And no, it's unfortunate that mankind has chosen to deviate from truth. You see, the task ahead of Soludo cannot be achieved by Soludo.
Really?
Even whoever. Hello?
Really?
Yes. Everything today, you ask Soludo to leave that office and bring in somebody that is overdeep sympathetic with the government of Nigeria. He cannot achieve that task. You know why? The truth is that the people perpetrating it are evils. Are you with me?
I'm listening.
But the point is this. You are not talking about how can we unravel the circumstances surrounding this. Who are the perpetrators? What is their motives? But that is something triggered it. Get an innocent man of incarceration. And until you do that, God in heaven cannot even allow the solution to be imputed.
Until what?
All.
Until what?
Until an innocent man is let out of that incarceration.
Oh.
Imam Mekano should be released. He's an innocent man.
So you believe that
nobody,
until he, you believe that until he's released, the sit at home won't stop.
Let me tell you, people are deriving joy today from the fact that an innocent man is victim.
No, oh no, no! Don't miss the point. Don't let's focus on the conversation, please. We're now in Q Info.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, my name is Oji, and I'm calling you from Mobok.
All right. Let me hear you on this matter.
Yeah, let me go straight to say, and also remind you in the past, River State in the past was a state where was declared by the whole world, United States and other international communities, that their own people should not come in. When River State was, everybody was about cultism, kidnapping, in the highest level, including the expatriates. What happened? A government came in, Right Honorable Chief Mika Amaechi, at that time, came in and declared. And one thing I know at that time was this. The people that are perpetrating all these evils were from River State. And what did he do? He called them to the round table. And he told them. He is talking to them right now. And as many I want to give way should give way. And at the end of the day, some of these boys came up and told themselves, denounced, and they were given employment and other aspects. How do I mean by this? These boys that are penetrating this evil in the southeast, they are not ready. And the man in question also is not ready. So what I'm saying is this, just like the last caller said, it will not stop. Heaven knows, even the angels come down, and at the end of the day, it will not work because these boys are not ready, and the governor in question cannot just come and you begin to do all your thing your own way. So what we're saying is this, it has to do coming on a round table. It shouldn't just come because you have come and you feel that you have the power. And let me make you know this. How were these participations when it comes to this Soludo in the past administration, when it comes to these boys? How well was he able to talk to these boys before now? So you cannot just come and you give embargoes. Right. It has to do with coming on a round table and discussing and giving an embargo. And at the end of the day, bringing out amnesty. And when you bring them out, you make sure you give these boys employment. Not at the end of the day, you allow them to still go back and begin to cry for money and the rest of them. So please, it has to do coming back on a round table to talk to these boys and talk to themselves also.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, OJ. But I don't think at any point in time the group has asked for jobs. You know, they haven't come out to say we need jobs. We need employment. We need to be able to put food on our table. Good morning.
Good morning, and all.
Yes, you're on.
Yeah, I'm so happy that you picked my call. This is my first call before you are speaking. By the way, I'm from another state. My name is TJ Kate. I stand for her call here.
You're welcome.
You see, my way of contributing to this discourse, I want people to know that the situation in Anambra State is different from what we are having. What we had in Rivers State, that yes, and also the federal government, you know, stand behind. You see, the struggle in Anambra State is of a political nature. Can you hear me?
I'm listening.
Hello?
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, the struggle in Anambra State is of a political nature. This is not
economic.
Now, what gave us to this struggle is political. And in the process of the struggle, now elements of criminality also is public. So to get this solution, it must be political as well. So I must say that what Soludo is doing is a step in the right direction. That Soludo needs also to be one of us and guided.
By whom?
There was a statement that Soludo made. That you will need the service governor to Abuja to go and talk to President Buhari. Now, when you examine that statement, you will know that there are a lot of things in store. When I heard that, when I know that talking to Buhari, Buhari will not come down from Abuja to provide security in Anambra State. So, it was a political talk. What can we do? How do we think about the release of this man, Nnamdi Kanu, who is dead? As well that, because everybody knows that what is happening in Anambra State has to do with the incarceration of Nnamdi Kanu. If Nnamdi Kanu is released today, we will be able to suspend the criminal element from the political and the adult. So, say again.
Sorry. I missed that. You said if he's released today, what would happen?
I said if Nnamdi Kanu is released today, you will be able to suspend the criminal element from the political agitators.
Oh, so you believe they are different?
Hello?
So you believe they are different, they are separate?
I don't get you. I'm not...
All right. No problem. Thank you for calling. Appreciate your time. Good morning.
Good morning.
You're on.
Yeah, thank you very much. Hello, according to Tupac, I see no change. Hello, people say that if you don't know where the rain starts to beat you, you may not also know where it stops. And do you remember that the former governor Obi had to move school days from Monday to Saturday, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Now, why do you think he did that? Is it that you could not engage these people? Are you also aware that the church that what's his name now? Soludo went to do Thanksgiving on Monday, that the Gitla was shot dead the next day?
I'm listening.
What I'm trying to say, in essence, Soludo has not had back to know the weight of what he wants to do, so that he will know what and what to apply.
You think so?
And listen to Asewano. There should be a period for everything. You have met with the president. The president has said, I'm deploying more troops to the place. So, I am giving you guys 1 month, 2 months to submit your arms. If you are not doing that, this here war against these people. Why come in to say, oh, they are this, oh, hey, they are that, oh, you are just wasting time. Go back, ask Obiano, why did you move school days from Monday to Saturday? What were the circumstances responsible for this? Why did you take that decision so that you get to know what and what was happening before you? If you don't do that, then sorry. Then do the character speak approach. If you bring your arm, then see what we're going to do. But if you don't do it, let's continue and let the smoking continue. If you don't do that, then sorry, your 4 years will just be waste. Coming to say you are declaring people should come and pray, at the end of the day they kill people. Is that how you want to roll the state? I don't think it will work right now. So as far as I'm concerned, even if you bring out Nnamdi Kanu today, these boys will be so divided and will begin to smoke people anyhow. It doesn't matter anymore. When he was around, this whole thing was not happening. So there are people within the space that are enjoying it. And now let me ask, when it was happening in Imo, they said it was because Supreme Court gave them a governor. Now is it Supreme Court that gave them this one? Another party did not even win one local government. Soludo won almost all the local government in Anambra. So why is this still happening? Is it about the Supreme Court?
Okay.
There is no clear cut agenda for these people, and they will continue, if you like, make you release 100 in Nnamdi Kanu. It's criminal activity. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling. We're Nigerian for Port Harcourt. Good morning. All right, on Twitter, let's see who. On Facebook, we have a message here. Oko Nnamdi saying Nnamdi Kanu must be released before the sit at home will end. One call, then we get back to Ifeanyi this morning. Hello?
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello.
Yes, good morning.
Can I record back?
So I'm sorry, we can't take your call twice in the show. Other people are trying to contribute as well. Good morning.
Good morning, my sister woman, Madam Eno. My name is David West, ATM Nigeria. Eno, you see, the people of the Southeast, as far as I'm concerned, decided to host this program for themselves. At the initial, they seem to accept this ideology of killing. When it all started, they were all singing. They were accepting it. If they had said no, this kind of thing cannot happen in the Igbo land. We are peaceful people, we are business people. Each one day an Igbo man loses. He loses a lot of money. And look at it, every Monday somebody will come and tell you go and sit at home, forcefully, and they accepted it, they allowed it. The governors went into a meeting. They were taking this boy. Why is Senator Inna Abaribe? Now the thing has snowballed into a situation whereby they make money from it. Are you aware that these boys make a hell of money out of this thing they are doing? Well, I don't think it would be easy for them to stop it.
All right.
Even if they bring out Nnamdi Kanu from prison today, these criminals will still continue because of the amount of money they are making for it.
Well, they don't agree that they're criminals. They say they're fighting for a cause. And one of the primary things they've called for and repeatedly asked for is for the release of their leader, Nnamdi Kanu. My name is Enogwe, everyone I join for. Do stay tuned if you want to go join me on the show shortly.
They say your votes do not count. Then, why do they buy the voters' cards? Why do they buy votes if they do not count? Every election year is a time to choose who decides your future. Not just your future, that of your children and your children's children. The way you live, the amount of money you have, the amount of freedom you have, and everything in between. My name is Enoa Gwevery. I have my PVC. Do you have yours? Get your PVC.
This is the Morning Crossfire on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Ife, thank you for connecting back with us on the show. So, some of the callers have spoken, I mean, different thoughts, but two key issues I would like you to address. One of them is saying that it's no longer, it's a political movement, more like, you know, is not economic, like what happened in the Niger Delta, which another caller referenced. And they're saying that whatever else that, you know, is not bringing Nnamdi Kanu out of jail would not solve this problem.
Okay, so I think that is mainly speculative. Yes, Nnamdi Kanu, it is not unlikely that the going on in the Southeast may have even gone a little beyond him. Because sometimes these things take a life of their own.
Mm.
Like they say, you may only tell how some crisis will begin, but you may not be able to tell how what they will morph into. So that is a possibility, because remember the Boko Haram whole in Broglie, when it started, over time, all kinds of criminality were attributed to Boko Haram. Even when criminals go to rob banks, rob people, possess them of their belongings, they take it Boko Haram. So it became a franchise of sorts. So what is happening in the Southeast too, of course, I'm sure the majority of what is happening is because of the old IPOB scenario. So the release of Nnamdi Kanu by itself may not achieve, but with him willing to cooperate with the system and change his modus operandi, that will be, to a reasonable extent, achieve what they need to do. Of course, there may still be some criminal elements who over time have cashed in on the scenario, you know, and become, to use it as a franchise for them to rob people, to steal, and to continue in that criminality. Those kinds of elements will be easily addressed and taken care of by the powers of the state, the coercive forces of the state of the day, if it comes to that. So for me, the talks, I don't know what has happened. There was a time Mr. President responded and said he would consider the appeal of the Southeast leadership in terms of a possible political solution for Nnamdi Kanu and a release. Later on, he said no, he will not interfere with the judiciary and what have you. But for me, I don't think it's interference, because the case against Nnamdi Kanu is a matter that is decided by the federal government. So if the federal government decides to drop the case or cause another prosecutor to be filed by the councils, it's not the interference. It's not like they're calling the judge that they release somebody. So if you drop charges, for instance, that's not interference. So that's a matter for another day anyway. So, but I think that if now the Kanu is released, it will add a lot of bite to the craving for peace, and these whole issues would, to a reasonable extent, reduce. The elements that are left will then be easily addressed. But we must not forget that whatever the case, we must tie it into the capacity of our security agencies. You know, I've always said this over time for years. You must always negotiate from a position of strength as a government, as a security agency, and what have you. Where you have walked into a corner and you are trying to now do give and take with people who have turned to criminals, it shows that you don't have the wherewithal to provide security for your people. And that is wrong, because anybody could then sabotage your efforts. Anybody can wake up and cause criminality and embarrass the government and embarrass the citizenry. So while the government is doing all this, it remains that our security situation is still in dire straits. We need to build capacity. If we have sufficient capacity, why should anybody have access to weapons and live free in this country, unauthorized possession of firearms, and remain somewhere, use them to terrorize people, and our security agencies are not able to smoke them out? Why? It invariably implies that we do not have security agencies that are able to provide security. And I have not seen the urgency on the part of government since the inspection administration, even during the administration, apart from the last few months before the election. I have not seen that urgency for them to empower and deliberately hold the feet of the fire of the service chiefs to ensure that they do the needful. Remember when Rivers had a crisis and there was the issue of IPOB trying to spill in as well, police stations were attacked. What did the governor do? I like that very much. It was a political opinion. People felt that it was not good. People felt it was extreme. There was curfew. Some of us did not like it. People suffered. But he found a way, after a particular period of time, he didn't have any attacks in Rivers any longer. So things must be done, and I'm aware that resources must have been spent funding must have been provided for security agencies. It is what needs to be done. But beyond a single state, we must do the needful. We must build capacity. There are short-term, medium-term, and long-term measures that must be taken. But so long as we have inadequate capacity to address these issues, then every Tom, Dick, and Harry, every criminal element will continue to make a fool of the Nigerian state and the Nigerian citizenry.
You're not a big fan of the word amnesty. So Governor Soludo has mentioned that as well, that they would give amnesty to agitators still in hideouts.
Yes. So I've heard that, and as you are aware, I'm definitely not a fan of amnesty, because what it does is that it's a form of appeasement for criminals, and it serves as an incentive for other would-be criminals to readily take to criminality, because they've seen that those who perpetrate criminality are brought, you know, to the table, to the corridors of power. I remember how so-called Niger Delta militants were flown in presidential jets when President Umaru Yar'Adua was around, from the Niger Delta down to Abuja, you know. And many other people now decided to call themselves generals. You have all kinds of Niger Delta generals, military generals, and what have you. And I think that itself has caused a problem for us. So declaring amnesty, you know, the way it is done elsewhere, let's say you take a prisoner of war, somebody has committed a crime, and you would have ordinarily gotten him to suffer for X number of years, having gone through the judicial system. But in that particular case, you already have sufficient capacity. You have brought the war to an end. The same way I question what is going on in the Northeast and Northwest, where every now and again you hear about reintegration of so-called repentant Boko Haram members, repentant bandits and insurgents or terrorists. The war is still ongoing, and you are releasing people. Tomorrow you see most of them going back to crime, and they have been on record to say that, yes, I was part of this, I am back to it, because they need to continue making the kind of money they were making before.
Mm.
So amnesty should only be brought into play when you have dealt a definitive blow. And those persons you felt were now criminals, you could now find a way to say, rather than say, go do life imprisonment, or go through the hangman's noose because you have killed people. Or go to, we cannot say, okay, we are going to reintegrate them, we are going to do this. But you cannot be having this war going on, and at the same time, you are declaring amnesty. It's a mess. But if you have the sufficient capacity to do the needful, and you ensure that there is no hideout for anybody, then you can say, come out, I give you an ultimatum. Come out. And ordinarily, if we would have punished you XYZ period of time, we will do it less. It's up to the plate by any kind of scenario, but of course, we are front loading this time, people in the labor balance will say. So I think we play with words so much, and we do a lot of things in the public space that encourage continuous resort to criminality by people who are now would be criminals. Because people now see that if you are a law and order person, what do you have in society? But thanks to criminality, the next thing you are described as a military leader, you are described as a general, you are described as a disgruntled person, and they invite you, and they give you patronage of different sorts. You now even bargain for so-called surveillance contract. So what happens to the person who has been a youth and has been very dutiful, has been very civil in actions and inactions? What happens to such people? They are not invited to come and have any bite of the cake. So we must review the consequences for our pronouncements and actions.
All right.
On the general trajectory of peace and security in the state. We must do that.
Thank you very much, Ifeanyi, for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Security analyst, if you want to go there, my name is Enoogbe. Every 5 days, there will be another Monday. We'll visit Anambra State to see how much progress Charles Chukwuma Soludo, the governor there, is making.